Fields. This is the Coors Light Basketball Coaches Show with head women's basketball coach Ryan Williams and head men's basketball coach Larry Eustace. Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now, live from Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon, here is your host, Brian Roth.
All right, a very good Monday evening, and we welcome you to Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. Great to have everybody aboard with us here tonight, another edition of the Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show. Brian Roth with you, talking hoops. For the next hour, we'll do the first half hour, as we always do with Ryan Williams. Second half hour with Larry Eustace. So, nice warm round of applause for Coach Williams.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah,
we don't need
not?
That, but we had a good week.
Larry.
Yeah.
We always do it for Larry.
Oh, you
we got to do it for you.
All right. Well, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah,
it's good to see everybody out. It's a great turnout tonight, and Lucky Joe's is always the best place to be on a Monday night. Really, any night, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Friday and Saturday nights, I imagine. But that was back from my younger years when I used to know that fact. Rams 14-7 on the season, 6-4 in conference, and coming off two home wins last week. And, boy, you couldn't have done them in any different of style. But wins are wins, and they're both terrific wins. They get a win over San Diego State on Wednesday night, 72-43. Ryan, you found your offense. You found your offense. It was just hiding in the third quarter on Wednesday night.
Yeah, we were surprised. I mean, when Moby hit 7-0, we didn't know there was a 7 up on that scoreboard, to be honest
time.
With you. It's been a really long time. But, we got some offense going and shot the ball really well, had a couple of really nice individual performances. And so just to it's kind of nice to see the ball go in the basket and see the kids play really relaxed, good offensive ball.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the 11th win in a row over San Diego State. And then followed it up with a great win in overtime against an extremely talented New Mexico team on Saturday, 74-71 in overtime. And so, yeah, the Rams, terrific last week.
That was a fun one. I know we'll talk about it more, but that was just, it had a really good feel to it. The crowd, Moby was really energetic. You know, we had a really nice turnout. Thanks, everybody, for coming to that game on Saturday. But I think more importantly, how engaged you all were in the game. And in those close basketball games, when it comes down to the wire, I think a crowd can make a huge difference. And so we really felt the crowd. I think we fed off of the crowd. There were just a lot of exciting basketball plays made by the Rams and the Lobos. So I just think you saw a really high-quality Division I women's basketball game, and I'm glad everybody was there to enjoy it, and you got to see a good Ram victory.
Yeah, it was a highly entertaining game. I caught the second half on CSURams.com from my hotel room in Albuquerque in a terrific game. You guys come from 8 back in the third quarter. Again, they force overtime, and you guys were able to pull it out in OT. So we'll talk about that game a little more in depth. We'll start with San Diego State here in a second, but first we have to get this out of the way. Ryan Williams picking up his 129th victory as the head coach of the Colorado State women, tying Tom Cullen for the most all-time in school history on the women's side. Congratulations.
Well,
still have one more to go, though.
Yeah, and I don't pay attention to that. It's nice you to bring up. I thought we were going to talk about Tverdi.
Oh, we will.
And she got Mount West Player of the Week. I would rather talk about that. But obviously, if you're at a place long enough and you work with really good people and you have good players, you're going to probably tackle some of those numbers along the way. But we've been fortunate enough to be at a really good place for going on, you know, our 6 years now. And again, good players, good staff, great fans, great administration, and hopefully we can just keep this train rolling.
Well, it's a good name to be associated with, too, and it'll show you how long I've been at Colorado State. I worked with Tom Cullen as the voice of the women's team way back when I got
the
job.
Well, then who was the better coach?
Who was the better coach?
Yeah,
you were a much better coach.
Oh, right, gosh.
Much better coach. Although,
put him on the spot.
And you know, you've recruited some great players that are going to be all-timers here, but he recruited the all-timer.
He
here
sure
at CSU
did.
And
well,
Becky
Greg
Hammond.
Williams actually recruited.
Was it Greg that Greg actually
Williams
got her
recruited
here?
Good Becky Hammond.
Right.
But, you know, I remember watching Coach Collins' teams on TV a little bit back in the day. and how special those teams were. And, of course, his coaching resume is just off the charts and the places he's been and how well he's done. So just to be mentioned alongside of, I think, you know, a first-class basketball coach like Tom is, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. And so when I was doing the games back then, his wife at the time, Nikki Collin, was the color analyst for me back then. And now they've kind of switched. Tom has kind of done a little media work. He's out of coaching, and Nikki is now the head coach of the Atlanta
Dream.
Well,
he got smart. He got smart
NBA,
and
WNBA.
Got out of it.
That's right.
Fast, and he's on the other side where it's not. I mean, I'm sure he's sleeping a lot better than I am right now.
That's right. That's right. But, hey, congratulations, 129 wins, and we all know several more coming down the pike here in the future. But let's go back and talk about the San Diego State game last Wednesday. 72-43, the Rams get the victory, as I mentioned, 11th straight victory over the Aztecs, and up by 6 at halftime. And boy, what happened in the third? I mean, you guys scored 30 points in the third quarter alone. You outscored the Aztecs 30-9. And I remember talking last week, I mean, you guys only scored 40 altogether at Air Force, yet you scored 30 in one quarter on Wednesday.
Well, I think our kids, first of all, they've kind of reset their minds a little bit and got a lot more aggressive playing offense, and that's really helped us. We're playing at a faster pace. Just there's more of a freedom to how we're playing right now. And, you know, we had a great first quarter. The second quarter, we threw up a nice six spot but played good basketball. We did. We had three starters in foul trouble there in that second quarter, Gracie, Sophie, and Taverdi. You know, three pretty good scorers for us. So we had to kind of weather the storm. But I think just in that third quarter, that fourth quarter, the kids just, again, they stayed aggressive. We found shots. We shot the ball with confidence. You mentioned we got down 8, and everybody kind of took their turn, you know, having a moment. You know, we got down 8, and Sophie decided, I'm going to make a couple back-to-back threes, and she got going. Veronica had a couple moments where she drove it, got a great offensive putback to Verdi. I mean, everybody just was a part of it. And I think that's the key to our little run here lately. It's been a lot of different kids. It's not been, you know, one kid, two kids. Everybody seems to be, you know, moving in the right direction offensively.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about Hannah Diverti, 28 points, a career high for Hannah. She had 18 in the third quarter alone, which is incredible. Follow that up with 16 points against New Mexico, and indeed get to that piece of news now. And again, Hannah Taverdi, the Mountain West Conference Player of the Week here this past week. 22 points, 9.5 rebounds, helping the Rams off to a 2-0 mark here this past week. Second time here this year, Ryan, you've had a Conference Player of the Week as Annie Brady back in mid to late December.
Yeah, Taverdi had a great two games. And I think you see really all of our seniors kind of playing good basketball right now. It's, believe it or not, the end is not too far away. And they sense it, they know it, and they're playing with a different level of energy. They're playing with a freedom, and it's nice to see. And I think the rest of our team is feeding off of that. And it was kind of funny in that third quarter, you know, that against San Diego State, it was, we rode that first group almost the whole quarter. And we just had, we hear you guys behind us sometimes, okay? I know you probably think he's got rabbit ears, but are you ever subbing? Are you subbing? You got a bench, Williams. So we heard that, but our whole staff, we looked at each other, we're like, we're riding this out. We haven't played this good in a long time. So we just let that first group ride it out. We let Taverdi, you know, just keep on her streak, and everybody was, that was a fascinating quarter. I don't know if we've had a third quarter like that in Moby in a long, long time. You can even look back at last year's team. We never did anything like that. So you want those kids to just soak that up, get that feel, and just tell them, okay, this is what we're capable of. And not that you expect that every quarter, but we have it in us, all right? Now just go play with some freedom, and that's exactly what they did the rest of that game.
Yeah, 30-9, though, in that third quarter. It had to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we talk about the offense, obviously, because, you know, that's been a sticking point with you guys over the last few weeks. But not only do you put up the 72, defense still there. That's been a constant for you, holding them to just 43 in the game.
Yeah, we had a really active plan, a really active zone where we put a lot of, you know, wing pressure. We did a great job containing Fort, who I think is a major league guard in our league. And she had 32. We talked about that. She had 32 the game before, and you know, their other guard had 29 the game before. We really did a nice job of containing their penetration. They didn't get any good looks from the three-point line. And I think once we got a bunch of stops, and we rebounded the ball really well, Brian. Mm-hmm. And out of our zone, we can really run a lot better, getting our fast break game. And that was, to me, that's what was fun to see. Our kids really finding another gear, running their lanes, playing fast, playing free. And so a lot of transition points in that second half.
Yeah, you talked about seniors, and Veronica Mirkovic is a kid who really, you know, we talked about Tverdy, Mountain West Conference Player of the Week, but Mirkovic was terrific for you here this past week, too, in both games.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring her up, and even some of our fans here tonight, you know, kind of recognized how well Veronica played. And I think Veronica can easily go unnoticed a lot to our fans, because stuff that she does on the basketball floor, it doesn't really shine all the time. It's kind of that dirty, that nitty-gritty type of work. She's got to guard, you know, those low post players. We ask her to rebound. We ask her to go double team. You know, we ask her to do a lot of things that maybe don't show up in a box score. And that, you know, now we're asking her to be more aggressive and assertive offensively and be a threat. You know, we had a conversation with her last week just about, you know, the end is near again. It's winding down. Just go out, you know, guns a-blazing. Don't concern yourself about, you know, offense. You know, just go play and be a threat. Don't worry about if you shoot a shot, if it's going in or not. Just don't overthink this. Go play basketball. And I thought her two games were key to our victories, but more importantly, it was just neat to see Veronica do that. You know, the confidence that she, I think, developed over those two games, it was nice to see her smile like that after a game and tell our coaching staff, I can do it. I can do it, you know. And it's just something she's been fighting for a long time. And, you know, yes, she can. And for her to have that realization that, you know, she kind of, that was a neat moment.
Right. You know, we've seen San Diego State score in the 90s, talk about New Mexico scoring in the hundreds here this year. You knew that you guys would have to play well offensively again on Saturday when you had New Mexico coming in. We've talked about them on this program here this season. Did your kids maybe feel a little more confident on the offensive end going into Saturday because of what happened Wednesday?
Absolutely. I think the Wednesday game really carried over into Saturday. And we didn't change up anything. We just said the same thing. All we did, just go be aggressive, play together, move the basketball, you know, shoot with confidence. You know, we just kept the same type of mindset, and our kids were, we knew we were going to have to score the ball, Brian. Yeah. I mean, you're not holding New Mexico to 43. You're just not. You
right.
know, we told our kids, you can't have a single digit quarter and expect to win, and they proved me wrong, right? You know, they go have a 23 point first quarter, and then we, again, that sixth spot in that second quarter, that was good. It was good offense again against a New Mexico team that is really athletic. They got out and pressured us, really extended. So we felt once we could break their initial line defensively, they didn't have anybody at the rim because we had them so spread out. And I think once the ball moved from side to side and we attacked the basket, we got some uncontested layups. And quite frankly, we finished a lot more than we have been in the past. So that was another solid offensive performance, which we needed because they scored so well.
Yeah, against 74-71 in overtime, the Rams get the victory over New Mexico. You know, I'm watching that game. You guys come from eight back in the third. The fourth quarter is tight. You know it's coming down to the end. And, boy, they get that offensive rebound,
wow,
the putback to send it in OT. And I remember I'm sitting in the hotel room saying, I'll be curious to see how Colorado State comes out and handles this OT because it was kind of deflating that it was going to overtime. But, boy, your kids came out, played well in the OT, and then who else but Hannah Tverdy with the huge, huge three.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things leading up to that, the end of the regulation. You know, out of that timeout, Gracie makes the great you know, and one play to put us up two. So, yeah, you're just thinking one stop, and we win the game. And let's face it, Nunn made a tremendous basketball play on that tip-in. Our kids defended their sideline out of bounds. They just ran a little invert screen and ran Burleson to the corner, and she launched it. We had a great switch, and the thing is, when we switched, it got to Verdi on Nunn, you know, who's 6'3", and it just a really strong athlete. And, you know, you watch it on film. Taverdi is actually blocking her off, and Nunn is fading away. She grabs the ball at its highest point and still finishes it before she comes down on the floor.
That was an impressive thing.
That was an impressive play. And that's what I told our kids in the timeout, or, you know, between the overtime and regulation. She made a great play. She made a great play. This is fun. Let's go make some great plays. And Taverdi's finish was, I think, a couple of things that led up to that, Brian, was that Gracie scored in the pro, and then she got fouled in the pro, two possessions leading up to that three-pointer. So that just made them go double Gracie. If Gracie doesn't score and they don't have to go double her, we probably don't get that three. But Taverdi made a great entry, you know, Gracie makes a great read, and just the confidence that Taverdi shot that with was just neat to see. She slid to the slot, and, you know, she said, "Coach, as soon as it left my hand, I knew it was going in." And I said, "Well, good, I didn't." I mean, guy, you're shooting 57% from the free throw line, and you're, you know, 27 from the three. Why would I think it's going in, Taverdi? But I'm glad she has that confidence. But that was a big-time shot, and, again, got a big stop there at the end. So it was exciting, just because of the emotion that was in that game. And we've lost our fair share of those games this year, our close games. And so to our kids to have that success, I applaud our young ladies in learning how to finish games like that and making winning plays to win those games.
Yeah, I was impressed by New Mexico. I thought they were good. Athletic. And the Sharice Bainan kid is terrific.
That kid can graduate tomorrow. I mean,
she had 30 points and 13 rebounds on you Saturday.
Really? I didn't know that. No, she is a talent. And it was, we talked about her coming in. I mean, she's just a really good scorer. And she drives the ball. She shoots the three. She gets fouled. She's a great rebounder. So it really helped us to win that game by getting her in foul trouble and not having her in that overtime. But what a fascinating player she is. Same thing with Nunn. A ton of respect for those two players, and really a ton of respect for that basketball team.
So the Rams get a couple wins. They're now 14-7 on the season, 6-4 in conference. And well, you guys are on to the road at Wyoming, at Nevada. Coming up next week, we'll talk about those two games. When we come back, stay with us. We're at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon in Old Town Fort Collins on the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show from Learfield. All right, welcome back here to the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show. We are live at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon, Old Town Fort Collins, talking some Colorado State hoops with Ryan Williams, Larry Eustace, set to join us coming up here in, I don't know, about 10 minutes when Larry comes through. But listen, the women playing good basketball, 14-7 of the season, 6-4 in conference play. They get Wyoming coming up in Laramie on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Hey, before I get to that, I forgot to ask you, what was the overall consensus by the girls? And can even ask the fans here, the state pride uniforms, how did they look? They looked good on TV.
Well, we played good in them, so they must
Let's bring them out again.
Yeah, you know, that was, I know our kids love wearing those uniforms, and they have a good look to them, and the colors were sharp, and to get the win in them was cool. And I, you know, there was some blue in the stands, and our whole coaching staff got to wear
blue. Yeah,
it's kind of nice to not wear that tie and jacket and just to wear the pullover. I mean, those football coaches are spoiled. I mean, they just got to wear, khakis and a pullover?
Right.
I mean,
tennis shoes, yeah.
I mean, geez. Yeah, so we might start going to that.
Well, they look good. They look good, and you get the win in them. It makes them feel even better. But, I love the concept. I loved them for football. And, of course, the men's team is going to wear them Wednesday night at home against Wyoming. You guys will be up in Wyoming, and they nipped you here in Fort Collins 3 weeks ago, 53-49. That was a defensive battle. I imagine you're expecting probably more of the same up there on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's just kind of how both teams kind of play. kind of shorten their game with how they play offense. They don't turn it over much. Both teams, it's hard to score on. So I imagine it's going to be a lot of the same. So it's going to kind of be that, you know, just kind of a heavyweight, grind it out type of game. And it's going to come down to, just like it did the first time, some shot making. And, you know, we didn't make as many shots, obviously. We missed a lot of easy ones, a lot of layups. And so, you know, if we can just continue to give ourselves opportunities and convert, you know, we can put ourselves in a position to win in Laramie.
You know, you guys are past the midway point now in conference play, sitting at 6-4. I know you guys are still eyeing a conference championship, with Wyoming sitting at 7-1. If you are to win that regular season conference championship for the fifth year in a row, you probably got to get a win on there.
Yeah, you probably can't lose again.
Right.
To be honest with you, you got to run the table, and so. But yeah, Wyoming's sitting there right at the top, and they've had a really good year, and they've won their close games, and we've lost our close games, and it's kind of come down to that. And so Laramie's always always a fun game, just because it's the border war, and you know their crowd is nice and rude and what have you. But it's always a pretty good environment, and you got two teams that really go after each other. So it'll be a test, and these are fun basketball games for our kids to play in. So we'll be up for the challenge on Wednesday.
Yeah, I know the coach always likes going up to Wyoming and coming back with victories too. Back to your old stomping grounds. Not necessarily Laramie as your stomping grounds, but the state in general. I know you like to get
wins up
there.
Yeah, my parents were too smart. They ain't going to live in Laramie. I mean, they live in Gillette. Now,
right.
That's like,
of course.
I mean, Gillette is heaven. I mean, but anyway, yeah, it's always different. You know, I used to go to basketball camp all the time in Laramie and that sort of thing. It's just always a fun win when you can beat the brown and gold. And so we'll have our work cut out for us, but let's get this done.
Yeah, absolutely. That's on Wednesday night. Then you go on the road at Nevada. That'll be a 3 p.m. Mountain tip-off on Saturday afternoon. Wolfpack 11-8, 4-4. I know you're focusing on the Cowgirls right now, but what can you tell us looking into the future about Nevada?
Yeah, we've kind of been following Nevada a little bit, just because
first meeting this year between the two teams.
Right. I mean, their non-conference was quite strong. They competed really well, and so we kind of followed some of their scores. We threw in a couple video, and you just. They play different. They play with a tremendous amount of toughness and brawn and physicality. They've got, you know, Tiffany Moe is a senior now, and she was a big time point guard before she hurt her knee, and last year just didn't quite make it back. But this year she's a lot different. So they've got some punch, that will be a tremendous challenge for us. And I think both these games very similar. These two road games and. Both teams are going to be physical. Both teams are going to be hard to score against. Every possession is going to be, a grinded-out type of thing, and you have to value the basketball. So very similar plans probably going into each, but that Nevada team is, you know, they've got our attention, no doubt.
Yeah, and again, you guys are back on the road. Seems like you're home for a week, gone for a week, home for a week. It's a little different this year.
It really is, and I think that's maybe why – you could get on that winning rhythm a little bit easier last year, because we play a road game and then you're at home. So it was, you know, if you took care of your business at home, you probably weren't going to lose two in a row. You know, now that you're going back-to-back road games, and just depending on who they're against, it's not uncommon to maybe drop two in a row. Here's Coach Eustacy. Let's give it up for Coach Eustacy. Walking in. Hey, let's buy tater tots for everybody, Coach.
That's right. Larry's buying tater tots.
Tater tot night on Larry Eustacy.
Final thought. The next game after that, third game out.
Holy cow, what's that one?
Yeah, I know. That's Air Force. They're coming in. And we talked about Air Force. They were winless when you guys played them down there, 1-1. They had played Louisville as a top five team. So tough. They had played so many tough teams tough. What do they do last week? They get a victory against Utah State, and then they nearly go up to Boise and beat the Broncos at Taco Bell Arena.
I know, and we just said, I mean, we know what we're talking about, folks, right? You and I mean, we've said they're really, really close
right.
to getting that W.
They're playing everybody tough in
they
the conference
They do.
Now.
They're very, very good defensively, and I think And we've learned that, and our fans know that. If you guard people, if you really, really guard people, and you value the basketball, and you get some good shots, you can be in a lot of games, regardless if the talent level is quite different. So, that was impressive. And I think they're playing tonight, Brian.
Are they?
You know,
okay.
with the shutdown last week or whatever. So I think tonight they're at Fresno. But that'll be a difficult one here in Moby for sure.
Yeah, I was just going through the scores here midweek. And
they got their W.
Saw they got their W, and I got to say, I mean, they were over. I was happy to see it. I mean, it doesn't come against you guys, so I'm fine if they go get a win, and they did. So
and
I was,
as hard as
I was
kids
happy
are working,
them.
Yeah. We talked about how hard those kids work and how hard they've been playing. So, you know, yeah, you're happy for them, just as long as it doesn't come against the green and gold.
That's
okay?
Right. All right, Ryan. Hey, congratulations on the wins last week, and best of luck on Wednesday.
All right, thanks, Ryan.
All right,
fans.
Ryan Williams. Okay. We'll take a timeout back on the Coors Light Coaches Show following this on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, welcome back here to Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. We continue along with the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show. Again, big thank you to Ryan Williams, and happy to be joined by Larry Eustace. Larry, how the heck are you, sir? Great to see you.
I run a little late. I was trying to get a condo in Albuquerque. They liked me so much there.
You got a great round of applause when they introduced you onto the floor there. Snake was especially appreciative of your appearance. Did he bark at you at all?
Well, I don't know if they understand what happened, but at the media day, thanks, Tiff, I said that New Mexico is one of the worst jobs in the country. And I'm 63, I can say that. 62. Why? Because it has Kansas expectations, and it pays like Northern Colorado. So it's a tough job. And I was supporting coaches, and, well, they didn't like that, and they didn't forget that because there's not a lot. But it's like their pro team in Albuquerque. So I walked down the tunnel, and they hadn't had that many people in a long time, so I should get a share of the gate. But they went nuts. And I just walked down the court and went like this and waved all of them.
I lathered them up even more.
But, we watched the film today, or a lot of it, with our team. And what can you say? But it's a bunch of guys trying and just breaking down and making some mistakes. Mexico hasn't hit threes like that. But that's what we're to expect. Ron's proud of our guys. Our effort's there. I mean, when you don't have your two leading scores, I thought it was more of a 3-4 possession game. Made a couple shots at the end. We chose not to shoot the last shot. So just proud of our guys. That's all I can say is they're trying. And they take these, you know, Anthony Bonner was crying after the game. I mean, it's important to them. And we went out and practiced hard today and just stay after it.
Yeah, again, the Rams, a couple of losses last week. And you mentioned the New Mexico game. We'll start there. And New Mexico's under a first-year head coach in Paul Weir. He came from New Mexico State, where he was the coach for 1 year. Prior to that, longtime assistant coach under Marvin Menzies, of course, is now at UNLV. But they press. They go 94 feet virtually the entire game, and what they do is force turnovers. And you and I talked in the locker room before the game. You said, kind of a perfect storm. They press, really put pressure on you, and you guys are playing without your two best ball handlers.
Yeah, we really didn't. You know, Anthony can play the point. I thought Robbie Berwick came in and gave us good minutes. Ray's closer to a three-man than a point guard right now, but I think he'll get better at it. But, you know, that atmosphere with our guys, it's like, for example, you know, we have a set play against the press, and the last thing we do is the guy taking it out, you know, is late to the ball so we can get set up in this play, and it's been very successful. Well, the minute they scored, they press, and we grabbed the ball. And I mean, the game just broke us down. We weren't in our spots. We had Nico bringing the ball up the court. We said, you know, 12, 14 turnovers, we could be right there, and we had 23. It was new to Dion. It was new to a lot of guys. Again, you're missing two key components and playing a team that probably played as well as they played. So, I would be disappointed if we don't beat them when they come here. JD's out for we don't know how long, Prentice won't play this week, I don't think. We were hoping, but, you know, we don't want him half speed, and we certainly don't want to prolong that injury. So we want him back at 100%. But, again, proud of our guys that we competed and dominated the boards. We just, when you turn the ball over 23 times, that's 23 shots you don't get. And they converted 30 of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
10 in transition, a little misleading. We got back and guarded them, but off the turnovers, they scored 30 points.
Yeah, 30-6 in points off turnovers. You know, we had mentioned that in the broadcast. I mean, really, outside of Anthony Bonner, who saw some time at the pit last year, Nico Carvacho, the pit's a different animal. And for anybody that's been down there, it's a different animal. They can really get it revved up. But you guys are down 15 in the first half, and that building was about ready to explode. You come back, make a run. They make another run. You get in the second half down double figures, yet you guys continually hung in the game. And, Larry, that's a five-point game with 7.5 minutes to go. You guys are right in that game. And I like the poise that your kids showed. Every time they made a run, your guys didn't crack.
Yeah, and again, shorthanded, playing against something that's totally different. Their coach, I would vote for him for coach of the year this year. I mean, they have a play. They have a way they want to play. And like we talked about a lot, they want to press. They want to take quick shots and get the tempo going, particularly at home. And we have a contrasting way that we think the game should be played, much like at the NBA level, which is a good recruiting tool. You don't see NBA teams pressing full court. You don't see them taking quick shots. So we just couldn't get our game. It was kind of a contrast of opinions. And we just couldn't quite get it on there in the toughest environment we'll play in this year.
Yeah, it's so tough down there when they get it going. All right, we'll take a timeout. More to come with head coach Larry Eustachy. But first, a timeout.
On this Monday night, Lucky
Joe Sidewalks. We're in Fort Collins, Coors Light. Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show, Brian Roth and Larry Eustachy talking some Colorado State men's basketball. Coach Show tonight brought to you by Foothills, the spot to go pre or post game. You can enjoy more than a dozen restaurants and eateries. And of course, use that newly opened pedestrian walkway right under College Avenue. It's a stress-free max trip to the stadium or to Moby Arena. Visit shopfoothills.com for more details. Well, Larry, you know, you look back at last week, and I know you look for some of the positives, and the game Wednesday night at San Diego State came out with a couple of good positives. Anthony Bonner was terrific at a career-high 22, but how about the play of a true freshman and Logan Ryan going in front of 12,000 fans at Viejas Arena? Didn't faze him one bit. He went for 13, by far a career-high for him.
Yeah, we've been talking Logan up. It's about opportunity. He got an opportunity. With the guards being out, we could move him to the wing, and I thought he played terrific. He acted like he belonged, and he does belong. Really smart, picks up quick. Look for him to play more minutes, and just a freshman.
Yeah.
And we saw how he can shoot it. He can shoot the ball, which changes the whole way you have to guard him, and he's big. I mean, he's getting close to 230, and really competitive and very hard on himself, which is good. So that was exciting to see him do that. And we knew he could shoot it. And I told him to shoot it. I told him two games before, you know, if you're open, you got to shoot it. And I think he's just trying to, you know, get the ball reversed and not try to do too much. But he can do more than he can. He's been doing, and he showed it.
All right. You know, with J.D. Page now being out, Prentice Nixon being out, you know, you're forced to play some other guys. I mean, Logan Ryan getting some more minutes. You mentioned the Robbie Berwick getting a few more minutes. Raekwon Mitchell playing more than maybe you expected him to play. So have a chance to get a few more guys some game experience here and try to turn that into a positive.
Well, Raekwon played more than extra. He played 40 minutes. And then he said something the bench, got a technical, got a little upset with him. But, you know, I quickly told him, you know, you just got to be able to handle that, because it's hard. I mean, it's hard for me not to say anything to these people, let alone, you know, a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
But he's competing. You know, I got on him, and then I quickly turned to him and said, you know, I'd rather wind you down than wind you up. You know, there's nothing wrong with being competitive. You just have to learn to channel a little bit better. And, you know, he got a little tired, but boy, if he gets just a little rest during those four-minute timeout marks, he's like he hasn't played at all. He's really exciting and has huge potential.
Yeah, that's one thing you had mentioned to me at the start of the season about Raekwon. You said, you know, he's not quite refined yet. He's only a sophomore. We know about his athleticism, but you said he has a motor, and you really don't have to get after him to play hard, which some guys you have to do that to, but Raekwon's not one of them.
Well, the biggest quality he has is which I've had players that, you know, coaching is repetition, and a lot of players, you know, don't ever get it. And an example with Raekwon is, you know, we told him that this team, when you go by them in the press, they're going to come from behind, much like Louisville did to us first year, and try to steal it. Mm-hmm. And they did for him. They did to him. And then I quickly reminded him, and I told you the retreating defenders are going to swipe at the ball. And he, right from that moment, from my lips to his brain, he channeled it to where he went down the court and looped out, and it never happened again.
Yeah.
And that's talent. I mean, as much as you want to talk about running and jumping, being able to take it from the instruction to the practice to the game, particularly skipping practice and going right from instruction to the game, is really, really rare, and he has that.
Yeah, begin a bright future ahead for him. Again, at the 17 a week and a half ago against UNLV, where he was terrific. All right, running a little bit behind, we're going to take another timeout. We're back. We're going to look ahead. The Cowboys of Wyoming are coming into Moby Arena on Wednesday night.
Lucky Sidewalks in
Middletown, Fort Collins. Welcome back. Talking some Colorado State basketball with head coach Larry Eustace. Just a reminder, we will not be here next Monday night, so no show next Monday night, and we'll be back coming up on February the 8th. That's a Thursday night, so a week from this Thursday will be the next show. The Colorado State men play. You guys are on the road next Tuesday, and we'll be down in Colorado Springs next Monday night. That's the reason for the switch. Put that on your calendar, next show Thursday, February the 8th. All right, the Colorado State men will get Wyoming and Nevada coming up here this week. Both games back at Moby Arena. And, boy, it's always fun when you get Wyoming. Game number two with the Cowboys. You guys beat them up in Laramie, Larry 78-73. And I know the Cowboys are going to be coming down here looking to get a little bit of a revenge on you guys.
Yeah, you know, you driving down from Laramie, you felt real good. And let a couple games get away from us, and then our two leading scorers go down. So, well, we're breaking out some new uniforms, so maybe those will score for us.
That's right.
Maybe we'll have a little luck with that.
Yeah, the guys
have
like
you
to...
guys. Have you folks seen our new uniforms? No?
State pride uniforms.
You like them? Yeah, our players love them. Maybe it'll add 10 points to our score.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
They'll feel good about it.
Look good, feel good, play good.
And Wyoming's playing well. They've won a couple overtime games. You know, I'd be disappointed if we're not in that game and we're going to really try to find a way to win at the end. The guys are going to have to really, really play right. You know, obviously we got to start women and winning in Moby, but it's nice to be back home, and you know, I want to thank the diehards that are here tonight. You guys are the best. I'm going to have to run out of here because I've got a date with the pharmacist to try to get rid of whatever I've had about the last 5 years. Is anybody sick here? That's who I got it from. Brian.
You probably did, Larry. I was sick as a dog down in Albuquerque this past weekend, man. So
when we got home yesterday, I just went to bed and woke up this morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just brutal.
It's tough. And every year, you know, you get into January and into February, and it seems like one person gets it, then it just kind of starts going through a team. So, yeah.
Well, the thing that's really cool is, I mean, Nico had the flu all last week and was throwing up at halftime. And but what about him? I mean, he is just getting so good around the basket, rebounding, et cetera. Excited. Exciting to see where he's going to get to.
Yeah, Nico Carvacho averaging nearly 13 rebounds in the Mountain West Conference alone, leading the conference in rebounding conference games. Like, he's been a beast, Larry, and he's doing it against some of the upper echelon teams, too.
He's done it against the upper echelon teams, and he looks different when he goes up and gets it against, you know, San Diego State.
Yeah.
He just looks different. He looks like an NBA guy going up hard, coming down hard. He's worked a lot at it and really proud of him. And you see Deion kind of – Nico really helps Deion. We were watching film today. He says, Coach, can you run that back? He pointed something out to Deion. So I think Deion's progress has been helped by Nico.
Yeah, and one of the other things, and Adam and I were talking about on the broadcast on Saturday, helping Nico Garvacho is he hasn't been getting into early foul trouble either for you. And, of course, so that puts him on the floor for 30 minutes and then, of course, gives him more opportunities at rebounds.
Yeah, and that's been huge, and he's worked on it. But you know, I asked the ref, this is interesting. They say they never do, but it was 9-3, both halves. 9 fouls on us, 3 it against New Mexico, and they were pressing and trapping. And I said, you know, when are you going to – we're being fouled in the perimeter. And he goes, you know, I'm trying to find them so I can even it out. And they say they never even it out. They say,
right.
We're not worried about the fouls. But yet, right out of the mouth came, we're trying to even it out. How many times have you seen it evened out? You know, all of a sudden. So I kind of got the guy, but that wasn't the issue.
You know, I'm looking forward to the Wyoming game coming up on Wednesday. I'm just hoping it's officiated a little differently than the first Wyoming game.
God.
56 fouls in the first game against the Cowboys, 71 free throws. I want no part of that on Wednesday night, Larry.
I know. Me neither. Hey, thanks for coming, everybody. You guys are terrific.
All right, Larry Eustace, Ed Metz basketball coach here at Colorado State University. Thank you to everybody that turned out tonight. Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. The next show coming up on Thursday, February the 8th. For everybody, Brian Roth saying so long on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.